The following episode of The Cards Court was recorded on Thursday, November 14th. The Cards Court is taped at the Betsy M. Ross Studio inside Ball State SportsLink, and, as always, is presented by Victory Honda of Muncie. Chirp, chirp, and go Cards!
Good afternoon and welcome to this week's edition of The Cards Court, the number one weekly Ball State basketball vodcast in the world. Here from the Betsy M. Ross Studios at Ball State SportsLink, we're here, Griffin Leonard, Sam Niger, for another week of Ball State basketball. We have Ethan Britton Watts from the men's basketball team on the show later on the episode, and we're excited. Let's put the court into session. How you doing, Sam?
I'm great, Griffin. Well, I'm great now. It's been a week of sickness. Bedridden the past couple of days.
But you fought through it.
So happy that I could be in studio today.
And I'm comfortably sitting 3 feet away from you.
As you should be, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're back. Let's break down the schedule this week. Entertaining week for both Ball State men's and women's basketball. Yeah. Had some tests early on in the week. We have Ball State men's basketball defeating Franklin College 87-60. First win of the season for the boys. Moving on, women's. They beat IU Indy in the second half of that doubleheader by a score of 89-63. So both teams got it done comfortably on the Friday. Then we have a Wednesday doubleheader, but it was the women's at home, men's on the road. Mm-hmm. Women's basketball, oh my gosh, 95-66 over a really good Memphis Tiger team. Really impressive. We'll talk about that more here in a minute. And men's basketball started tough against Dayton, fought back into it, but ended up falling just a bit short, 77-69 on the road at the Flyers. Tough loss, but a pretty good performance from a men's basketball team that's still trying to find their identity. Before we get into our opening statement, Sam, I want to check back with our bold predictions for the week because we've got some interesting predictions now that we know whether or not they were true. Let's go back and look at them.
Yeah, let's take a look.
Starting with you, all right?
I see that look on your face. Of course you would.
So women's basketball, it was IU's win, or the win over IU Indy would be greater than Old Dominion. That happened. Ball State looking very, very good against IU Indy. We'll give you a point there.
Yeah, that wasn't necessarily the hottest take in the world, but when you contrast that to my men's basketball take, that was to kind of even things out. It might have done the opposite. I think the men's basketball take might lose me some points here, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, looking at the men's basketball take, it was Fat Hill to have a double-double, not just one game this week against Franklin, but also against Dayton. I'll give you points for him having a very good performance in both of those games, but theoretical points because I'm going to have to find you in contempt of court here.
Yeah.
Drop you a point for no double-doubles.
Yeah, no double-doubles across the board. I thought, you know, obviously, like you said, he had great performances in both games, but I thought his ability to distribute the ball was going to match his ability to score the basketball, and while I think that's something that's going to come in, you know, in the following weeks from now, he just hasn't necessarily been able to put the pieces together from a stat perspective to have the double-doubles quite yet, but more soon from him, I think. And then, Griff, I want to take a look at some of your predictions as well. You might not be held contempt of court here, but you did get one of those wrong, and that was your women's basketball prediction. You thought that Allie Becky and Hannah Riddick would both have 20 points in that game. Allie Becky did have 21 points. Hannah Riddick fell just short. She had 18, so she was just 2 points shy. I won't give you the point, but I'm not going to deduct any points there from you either because Hannah Riddick was just that close. Your men's pick, much more successful, though. Everyone plays that is available. That was exactly it for the men's team. Everybody who is not expected to redshirt got on the court for that game against Franklin College, got to contribute to the stat line in some way. So a good hot take and well executed from you, my friend.
Appreciate it, Sam. Let's go through our opening statements for these games because upcoming we've got a couple of really good contests, but just looking back at Wednesday in particular, women's basketball put on a clinic against the Memphis Tigers. It was close in the first quarter, but the Cardinals really just exploded, and it was one of the more impressive performances I've seen in Worthen Arena.
It was some of the best offense I've seen on that floor. It reminded me a lot of that Tennessee Tech game from last year where going into that game, people thought it was going to be very close. They're playing another really great mid-major program, and Ball State just waxed them off the floor. Look, 66 points will win you a lot of basketball games at the Division I level, and that's what Memphis scored. 66 points typically has you at least in contention in a game. It's not even that Memphis was playing bad defense. Ball State was just so physical on the glass. They were getting offensive rebounds. They were connecting from deep. Yes, the three-point shooting still needs to improve, but that will come with time, and that will come with the return of Matty Bischoff. It's just the prolific offense and the efficiency with which this offense operates for Ball State that makes them so dangerous. The Cardinals really took it to the next level yesterday, and I think the same is going to be true moving forward. They're going to see a couple of 90-plus games, not 90-plus point games as the season rolls on.
Yeah, well, and you look at some of the stats, they only shot 23% from deep, but they didn't need it, right?
You're right.
They're turning the ball, or they're forcing turnovers, rather, and 21 turnovers for Memphis. 7 of those steals from Allie Becky, not to mention her double-double, 22 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, and 3 steals away from a quadruple-double. It just felt like a complete performance from a good Ball State team.
And just imagine when Maddie Bischoff, a 38% three-point shooter, is added to a Ball State team that's already scoring 95 points while shooting 23% from beyond the arc. I mean, that is creeping up on triple digits territory. It's not going to happen often, but this is an offense that is not going to be shut down, and I think that is going to be what makes them dangerous in more competitive games in the non-conference schedule. I'm talking about the North Carolinas and the Ohio States. This Ball State team is a real threat to Power Four teams.
Really exciting couple of tests coming up. Let's talk about men's basketball really quick before we hit our break. The boys traveled to Dayton, an attendance of 13,000, and it's a Power 5 arena non-Power 5 team, but Dayton plays like a Power 5 team. Really good test for the Cardinals. Came out really slow, took about 8 minutes for a field goal in that game, and even then it was aided by a goaltend, but
yeah.
The Cards turned it around, and we saw really good performances from Fat Hill. We saw Ethan Britton Watts really emerge in his first start for the Cardinals this season, and a lot of positives to take from that game, even without the positive result.
And I'm really interested to see what Ethan says in a couple of minutes when we talk to him about the ability to turn the team around after having such a slow start. Because you took a look at that game after the first 8 minutes, and you would have written Ball State off. I mean, that's just the name of the game. But then you look at the box score. They only lost by 8 points. The bench was fired up. The vibes seemed really high towards the end of the game. Obviously, you want to walk away with a win, even against a team as good as Dayton. I'm sure the team went into that thinking that they had the ability, they had the roster, and they had the skill to be able to beat that Dayton team. They didn't put the pieces together, but they're going to be able to take a lot of what they learned from that Dayton game and apply it to some upcoming games. If they have a better start in that game, they very easily could have walked away with a victory against the Flyers. And I have a lot of friends that go to Dayton. I'm from Ohio myself. I know what the atmosphere is like inside that arena. It is a tough place to play. That's going to be one of the tougher atmospheres that Ball State faces all year. And they rose to the challenge of that despite their slow start. So I was impressed with the men's team overall.
Well, and we'll talk about it all season, but it's a Ball State team that, of course, they're going to have a lot of new faces. That's the way college basketball works.
Yep.
But it's a veteran team that's playing together for the first time. That team is going to mesh and grow a lot faster than a team with a bunch of freshmen and sophomores. I think we'll continue to see that out of a good Ball State team who had some mixed results, but a lot to look forward to, a lot to grow off of with a tough week. We're going to take a break here on the Cards Court. When we get back, we'll have Ethan Britton wants to break it all down. Really looking forward to the talk with him. But Griffin Leonard, Sam Niger here on the Cards Court, presented by Victory Honda Muncie. We'll be right back.
Victory Honda of Muncie. We're not just another car dealership, and here's why. We stand behind every car we sell and are dedicated to helping our customers save time and money. All our pre-owned cars undergo a rigorous 182-point inspection and come with a 90-day warranty to ensure that you're getting a Victory quality vehicle. Plus, you'll get 2 years of complimentary oil changes and tire rotations. We're part of a top 15 dealership group and have an enormous selection of vehicles with access to inventory at over 45 locations. You always get more for your trade and the best possible rates with us. We have an excellent relationship with hundreds of lenders. Our exclusive CarDoc maintenance and membership program will help you save hundreds of dollars in the process of maintaining your vehicle. Lastly, our state-of-the-art body shop and certified technicians perform high-quality repairs and paintwork on most vehicle makes and models. Victory Honda of Muncie. We're not just another car dealership.
Welcome back here on the Cards Court, presented by Victory Honda of Muncie. This week's guest is an Indianapolis native, went to Culver Academy before heading out east to Boston University, where he was a player there for 4 years, transferred here to Muncie, missed last season due to injury, but he's in the Cardinal and White now for his graduate year. Ethan Britton Watts, thanks for joining us this week.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, of course. Let's start talking about you. You know, you're from Indiana,
yep.
Went away for the first couple of years of college. Just first of all, what drove you to come back?
Being back home. I I went to Culver, so like that's an hour and a half away from Indianapolis. My parents made every game, but obviously my family couldn't. So, and then going to BU for 4 years, that's on the opposite coast. So yeah, just being able to come back and play in front of my family and friends every night, it's been nice so far.
So correct me if I'm wrong on this, but Culver is not your typical high school, right? Nice. I remember playing. I played lacrosse in high school, and I remember we traveled to Indianapolis to play Culver, and it felt like these guys were 24 years old. I mean, they kicked our butts, dude. Well, what is different about Culver as a high school?
I mean, it's just a boarding school, so you live there. Academics is like top in the world. It's a beautiful campus. You know, you live on a lake, basically. We're not able to get in the lake as much people would think as high schoolers. But it's just like a very family-oriented atmosphere. Like a bunch of people come back from all types of classes. Reunion weekends always packed. Parents weekend. It's just like a really family-oriented environment. And for a kid that wants to play sports there, it's, you know, you got the best of both worlds. I was able to have 24-hour access to the gym. I could be in there whenever I wanted, and that's typically not what you see in high school.
Right.
Same way for lacrosse, football, like whatever your sport is, you have all the access you need to be who you want to be. And I took full advantage of that. And then, I went there with some of my best friends growing up too, Trey Galloway, Deontay Craig, Nick Hiddle. You know, I've been knowing those guys since I was kindergarten, first, second grade. So we were able to go there and kind of build a little dynasty, and we had a lot of fun with it.
How did that set the tone then for the college experience? Because it seems a little similar to what you would see in a typical college campus.
Mm-hmm. When I went there, it didn't. I mean, it was like a college feel. Now being through college, you know, looking back on it, it was definitely a college feel. But the campus has improved like crazy. I went back. I go back every year, every couple years. But the campus, like they tore down the building I used to live in. It's a whole new building. They got new dorms. They have a LLL center. That was just a class when I was there. Now they have an entire building for it. They redid the shack. It was underneath the dining hall. Now there's a separate building for the shack. So it's just, it looks and feels more like a college campus for sure. Those kids don't know how good they have it.
Yeah, that's
not
crazy.
That we didn't have it good, because I definitely did, but it's just changed so much.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, at least to me, like a boarding school, it feels like something out of Harry Potter or something, you know, like, you know, like you, kid needs discipline. Let's send him off to military school. Like, I'm assuming you weren't that kid, right? Why did you choose to go out there for boarding school, and just what was that experience like?
Other than the academics, like I touched on, Mark Galloway, I mean, that's the reason. You know, he was a part of my coaching staff on my AAU team growing up, so I obviously had a good relationship with him and Trey. And then, it wasn't too far from home. It's far enough to make you feel like, you know, you're growing up and learning how to time manage and be disciplined on your own. But other than that, it was just a good opportunity. I mean, they provide, like I said, the best academics in the world. You got all the access you need athletically to, you know, kind of lock in and just be who you want to be. It's a family atmosphere, like I touched on as well. So that support carries with you throughout your entire life. We have a saying there, the Culver connection. You don't really understand unless you've been there or, you know, people there, but it's real. Like, a bunch of networking opportunities just from going, you know, there in high school, so.
And you keep touching on this theme of home. You came back to Ball State because it was close to home. You went to Culver because it was close to home. Yep. Why Boston then? Why was that the original choice?
The academic piece for sure. And then just, you know, when I got there, the guys that I played with my freshman year, well, honestly, my whole career there because of COVID, so I ended up playing with a lot of those guys. But just like the team and then the coaching staff, like it felt like home as well. And then with it being in Boston, it was obviously different. I've been in the Midwest my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously not just in Indianapolis, but I've seen a lot of the Midwest, so I wanted to expand in that way. Living out there was amazing. I mean, it's the perfect place to be if you're like a 18 to 24, 25-year-old, because like 30 colleges within a 5 to 10 mile radius from each other. You got the city. Like, if you go to BU, we were right in the city. So it's just, you know, a bunch of fun. And like I said, an academic piece was hard for my parents to turn that down. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And talking about the experience trying to come back to Ball State here, I remember you telling me a while back about your experience being in the portal for for a short time. You want to tell that story about?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I didn't want to stay in the portal for you know, like what you see now, guys just hop in the portal and just wait until they get the school that they want instead of the guys that really want them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I took a nap. Like, I didn't want to deal with all the pressure and stress of it, so I took a nap. You know, I wake up, my mom's calling me. She's like, yo, you're in the portal. I'm like, all right, bet. A couple hours later, first call I get is from Ball State, Coach Lou. And then, yeah, you know, a couple other calls from people in the MAC, a couple other schools. But Ball State, they stayed on me weekly. Finally got in contact with Coach Lewis shortly after that and just started building and forming that relationship. And then they got me on campus as soon as they could. And, you know, all I needed to see was the campus. I was recruited by Ball State my junior year, right before they were building Shinedown and everything. So, like, I came, I saw the arena and everything. But the school's obviously changed a bunch, and it's so different. So I just had to get back on campus to see everything. And once I saw everything, I was good.
And you've seen the landscape of college basketball change over the past. How many years has it been now? Is this your seventh year? Sixth.
Yeah.
So you've seen it go from that COVID year. Mm-hmm. You saw a bunch of your teammates take their extra COVID year, and now we're starting to see a lot of those players phase their way out. The transfer portal very much an emphasis more now than it was.
Yeah.
Do you feel like college basketball is in a better spot right now than it was when you came in?
I mean, I don't know if better's the word. I think it's just something that is different and something that we're all adapting to together. Nobody has the answers to, like, the NIL and everything that's going on right now. But instead of complaining about it, which, like, half the college sports world is doing, just got to learn how to navigate through it. You know, when I signed up for this stuff, it was 4 years and you were done. Luckily for me, I'm able to get, you know, 2 degrees out of it, so that's a pro, obviously. A lot of people are able to do that if you take advantage of that. So there's good and bad things that come with it. I think it's doing more good than bad because, you know, we put in a lot of time and effort and, you know, there's people who can make a lot of money based off their name, image, and likeness. They should be able to because of the work that they put in. But it goes both ways, you know. We're doing a lot for the school, and the school's doing a lot for us as well. So it's just got to navigate it.
So I think if everything worked out the way that it was planned, you would have been done with college basketball by now. You would have had your grad year last year.
Right.
That wasn't how everything ended up shaking out. You had the injury. Mm-hmm. You missed last season, but you're back here. What has that journey been after coming to Ball State but expecting to be here for one calendar year? Now you're here for the second. Just what's that journey been like?
It's been a blessing just looking from it from this perspective now. I get to finish my MBA, number one, so I wasn't going to be able to do that last year. I would have just walked out with a certificate. So that's a blessing in itself. They allowed me to come back and do that. Appreciative to Coach Lewis and the staff for that, number one. But, yeah, it's just, you know, just something else I had to tackle. It was different. Looking back on it now, like, I have a completely different perspective. Like, when we were talking about it, I was thinking I was going to play, and then I did a couple more interviews while I was hurt and just thought that I was going to have a certain mindset about the injury and everything, but coming back has been completely different. You know, you don't really know mentally how you're going to react to being out for a year until it happens. So that's still something I'm learning to work through, and, you know, I got great teammates to help me with that, but it was just overall a learning process, something that I hadn't went through that I had to go through to be where I am now.
I could ask you, you know, what the goal of this current Ball State team is. Obviously, you're going to say MAC championship, go to the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
If you think all the way back to 2020, you actually had a chance to make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
You won the Patriot League,
right,
and then COVID happened.
Yep.
What emotions went through your head when they shut down college basketball, they shut down the tournament after you won your conference championship and had that automatic bid?
Well, look, we were on the bus going to that game, going to Colgate. In Hamilton, New York. I don't know if you guys are familiar.
I'm familiar with Colgate. I don't know about Hamilton.
It's a weird place to drive through. It's a weird area, but, I mean, they win basketball games.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, we're on the bus, and I'm hearing talks about Corona, and I only know of one Corona. So I'm like, man, what? Like, what is – this must be a joke, right? Like, didn't think too much of it. We play the game. We're getting, you know, back to Boston, and, you know, we have a meeting the next day at 3 p.m. because we got back late. So they're like, yo, meet us in the locker room at 3 p.m. And they break the news. And it was shocking because it's like, for as long as I've been alive, you know, March Madness has been a thing. All the money it brings, just everything about March Madness. Like, you need to have March Madness. So I was shocked just from that perspective. But then it really sunk in, and I felt bad for my seniors because, you know, I looked at it like I got 3 more years to play. These guys, you know, been waiting their whole career to have this moment, and it was just taken away from them. You know, looked into those guys' eyes, and they're teary-eyed, and it was just tough, tough for them. And then, you know, we got to go home for a little bit. So it ended up being not as bad as, I mean, other than a national pandemic.
Right.
But, you know, I got to go home and spend some time with my family. So it wasn't that bad. But, yeah, it definitely felt bad for our seniors.
Like Sam mentioned, though, you know, you thought that you had that opportunity your freshman year.
Yeah.
Now that you're to this point, like Sam said, you know, every guy that we talk to on the team, like the goal is going to be the MAC championship, the NCAA tournament. Yeah. How expanded of a goal and a necessity is that for you now, knowing that, like, that was your freshman year, mm-hmm. The chance got robbed from you then, but now time's running out. How much more is that a goal for you than maybe the average person around Ball State basketball?
All I'm thinking about, we're thinking about as a team. Now we're trying to take the necessary steps consistently to be the team that we know we can be and put that into fruition. But it's all we talk about and think about. You know, it's selfishly like, yeah, it's my last year, but I know these guys want to do it, you know, for their first year, second year, whatever. Because we know we have the team and talent to do it. You know, Coach Lewis put this team together for a reason. And, you know, he's got all the confidence in us. We got all the confidence in ourselves. So we just got to put it together. But focusing mainly just taking it day by day. If we focus too much on the MAC championship right now, you know, in November, we'll be out there playing tight and jittery.
Right.
So just keep having fun. What it is, college basketball. Coach Lewis says that all the time. Like, especially going and playing in an environment like Dayton. Like, you guys will remember this type of stuff for the rest of your life. So just enjoy it. Keep basketball. But understand there is an urgency, you know, because of the team and the collection of guys we have. You know, we got a chance.
Yeah. Speaking of taking it day by day, you move on from that loss at Dayton. Now you got Indiana State coming up. In-state rivalry, you're not playing it in downtown Indy this year.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
It would have, but you do get to play it on our home floor against an in-state rivalry. Yeah. Does this game have a little extra oomph attached to it, and why so?
I mean, you want to win. I mean, you want to prove that you're the best team in the state. You know, IU, Purdue, they play, same thing. Indiana State, Ball State, you know, you just want to prove that this is your state. I haven't been a part of the team, but so we, speaking as Ball State, we haven't beat Indiana State in the last couple of years. They were really good last year. You know, we, out of the teams that beat them last year, you know, we were right there with them. Made a couple mistakes down the stretch. They hit a couple threes, but, you know, we felt like we could beat them last year. So this year, having that home court advantage is definitely going to help us, and we're excited.
Yeah, so we're talking about in-state matchups. You know, I want to go back to Dayton because, well, it's not an in-state rivalry. You know, it's a local-ish team, and it's a good team, right? It's a Dayton Flyers team that won an NCAA tournament game a season ago. Mm-hmm. And that game on Wednesday night, it did maybe start the best, but you guys made a really good run at it in the end. Single-digit loss in the end on the road to a good Dayton team. What were the vibes like after that game? What was Coach Lewis's message to you guys after – maybe the result didn't go the way that you guys were hoping, but you undoubtedly showed that you can hang with some of those really good teams.
Yeah, and I think even saying, like, hang with a team like that is a bad way to say it because there are no more victories. Like, we expected to win that game, expected to come out better than we did, and just, I mean, math. If we don't spot them 20 points in the first 8 minutes, that game was different. But, yeah, I mean, he was, you know, if you guys give us that energy, that fight every day, we'll have the chance to be the team that we know we can be and that you guys want to be. So we're taking steps. It was obviously better to learn from a win than a loss, but watched film today and, you know, saw some good and some bad and, you know, just kept taking it day by day.
Yeah. What needs to change in the first half then, since that has kind of been one of
That's a practice thing, honestly. Yeah. Like, we just – the more we fix that in practice, starting off practice as well, like, we'll have, like, a 10 to 20-minute lull and start of practice, and then the rest of the hour and a half, 2 hours are really, really good. So that's just a practice thing, just coming in with the right mindset so we could start off the practice like we were starting off a game.
Well, not only is it a practice thing, you know, like talking about you specifically, you missed all of last season. Mm. And then a game like Wednesday, you made your first start of the season. Congratulations, yeah. Of course, on appreciate that. As you start to get more minutes, how do you think you'll kind of unlock more comfortability and then with that also enable your team to do the same?
Yeah, and I think that second part is just what it is. I mean, I'm comfortable. Like, I've been playing college basketball for a while, so now it's just – being more of a vocal leader, that's what they're asking for me. You know, being able to get on guys, we got to be able to take constructive criticism and, you know, just communicate better. That's a lot of our problems right now, just communication, which, you know, eliminates a lot of your issues on the court if you just talk more. So I could definitely do a better job personally of that, and that's what I'm looking forward to doing starting Saturday. And, you know, we got a lot of old guys, so the communication piece has to be there. So that's really our big focus right now.
And then just last question for me. I think, like, you look at your goals, obviously, for the end of the season, but you look at your goals just before we even get into Mid-American Conference play. You know, yeah. Outside of just maximizing wins and minimizing losses, what are your personal and team goals before we turn the calendar over into the new year?
My personal goals at this point in my career are literally just to be the best person I can be for the team, whatever way we need to. I mean, whatever the game calls for me to do is what I'll do. Whether that's scoring points, assisting, defending, like, you know, Franklin was a defense game for me. I wanted to get out there and really heat up the ball, just have a defensive presence and a defensive intensity that could go through our team and, you know, everybody could feed off that. But, yeah, just trying to be whatever the team needs to be. I've done a good job of that over my career. I've had to play in different spots, on the ball, off the ball, so I've been able to take that and just grow my game that way. But as a team, just the communication piece, I'm going to keep harping on that because that's really what it is right now, taking steps in that each day. And that will solve, like, a lot of our problems. We have all the talent, all the athleticism, all the old guys you need, you know, to be smart and good in college basketball right now. So we just got to hone in on that, and, you know, the wins will follow suit.
Well, Ethan, we appreciate your time. Of course, looking forward to seeing how the team progresses and continues to grow. And it's going to be a fun season. I think we're all having fun, like you guys are.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys for having me again. And yeah, it's going to be a fun season. You know, we not even saying we're going to get off to a slow start. We've gotten off to kind of a slow start, but it's early. We got a lot of time, and we do have that sense of urgency to, you know, be the team we know we can be. So. It's coming.
Love it.
Absolutely.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, that's Ethan Britton Watts with the Ball State men's basketball team. Looking forward to seeing him and the guys the rest of the season at Worthen Arena. We're going to take a break here on the Cards Court. When we get back, Sam and I will wrap things up here from the Betsy M. Ross Studios at SportsLink. This is the Cards Court presented by Victory Honda of Muncie.
For the best stories, access, and coverage of Ball State sports, follow SportsLink on social media platforms Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search at BSU SportsLink.
Welcome back to here on the Cards Court. We just sat down with Ethan Britton Watts. Really enjoyed that conversation, Sam. And now let's take a look at our upcoming schedule here because we have another important week. I feel like every week's important,
right,
especially in the non-conferences as you prepare for the Mid-American Conference schedule. But a couple of big matchups for both teams. You start with Saturday. It's a doubleheader, as in both teams playing, only one playing in Muncie. It's the men's basketball team taking on Indiana State. That's a Ball State SportsLink ESPN Plus production. We hope you can enjoy a broadcast for that alongside us if you can't make it to Worthen Arena. That kicks off at 2 p.m. Against the Sycamores. Women's basketball, on the other hand, Sam, you're heading out on the road. Northern Iowa, the opponent. That should be a good test for the women's team on Saturday.
It's going to be a ton of fun. I'm excited to see what this Northern Iowa team brings in terms of competition for Ball State because this UNI team reminds me a lot of the Cardinals in terms of the way they're built, Griff. And I think it's going to make for maybe the toughest test the Cards have seen thus far this year.
Yeah, so really good tests on the weekend for both teams. Then you move to the midweek matchups. Women's basketball has the midweek off. They actually take a week off before heading out to the Bahamas for what should be an exciting Thanksgiving time tournament for the women's team, taking on some nationally ranked opponents. We'll talk about that more next week. But for the men's team, taking on Detroit Mercy. We saw them go at Detroit Mercy last year to play the Titans. They come back home and host Detroit Mercy coming up on Wednesday. So two tests for the men's team, both at home. Women's hits the road and then has some time off. Let's get to some closing remarks, our bold predictions for the week. Let's start with you, Sam. I know you're excited to see this Ball State Northern Iowa matchup. You talked about it, high flying, high scoring, and that should continue.
Yeah, this is a Ball State team that just scored 95 points, right? And I know it wasn't against a Division I team, but Northern Iowa's also dropped close to 100 points this year as well. In their opening game at home against UW La Crosse, they won 99-56, and then they went on the road and beat a really good Green Bay team 71-56. So this is a team that has the ability to score a ton of points, much like this Ball State team. They've got a lot of returners. We expected it to be a really tough game last year when you and I came to Worthen Arena. It was a matinee matchup. The Panthers looked a little tired. The Cardinals kind of took care of their business. I expect it to be a little closer this year on the road. It is going to be Ball State's toughest test to this point. The same is true for Northern Iowa. That being said, I think both of these offenses are so good that we're going to see 80-plus points from both teams on Saturday. I think it's going to be high scoring. I think it's going to be close, but my bold prediction is 80-plus points for both Ball State and UNI.
Yeah, a couple of big-time opponents have gone to UNI in the last couple of seasons.
Oh, yeah.
They hosted Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes last year. And now they're hosting Allie Becky and the Ball State Cardinals. Going to be a fun one on Saturday. I've got a similar prediction. Not only do I think that they're going to put up 80, I'm going to keep Northern Illinois out of mine and just focus on the Cardinals here. Northern Iowa. We're not quite to Mid-American Conference schedule quite yet. But Ball State, they're on fire offensively. And Northern Iowa is a team that's got a good offense to match. I think it's a defense that the Cardinals can exploit like they have in the last couple of games against their opponents. I think they put up not only 80 but 85 points against this Panther team, but I look forward to it. Let's move to men's basketball. It's going to be an interesting matchup against Indiana State, a team that has given up a lot of points in the paint. Yeah. They've shot well off the dribble, but they're a new team like Ball State. They have a new coach, but they have a young team. They don't quite have the mature team that the Cardinals do. And I'm curious how you think that matchup's going to go.
Well, I think it's super interesting because of the youth aspect of this Indiana State team. We talked about it. Yes, Ball State went out to the transfer portal. They completely reworked this roster, but it's either adapt or die right now in terms of college basketball. And you adapt by utilizing the transfer portal. I've kind of matured over the past couple of weeks in my interpretation of the transfer portal from a basketball perspective, because as long as you get guys like Ethan Britton Watts, who is just with us, as long as you bring guys like that in who have experience already playing college basketball, it doesn't matter where it is, that gives you an advantage. And I think that gives Ball State the advantage as well. That being said, my take doesn't necessarily have to do with Ball State as a team, although Ethan Britton Watts did inspire me. He had a great first starting performance against Dayton, 16 points. I think he's going to beat that number against Indiana State. I look for a new season high for him, more than 16 points, so 17 or more points from Ethan Britton Watts on the floor of Worthen Arena against that Indiana State team. What about you, Griff?
Yeah, well, it's a shame he isn't here. I'm sure he would have enjoyed hearing that.
Well, I didn't want to jinx it with him sitting right next to me. You know, I've already been held contempt of court once.
Yeah, that's fair. Let's hope he's not watching. This gets posted tomorrow morning then. But when you look at this matchup, I think it's really interesting because you put up a couple of really good perimeter teams. Ball State has options down low. They haven't been able to really get those options going yet in Peyton Sparks, Ben Hendricks, and some other options there. And I think that continues. I think we see a game where Peyton Sparks and Ben Hendricks both get held to single-digit scoring against an Indiana State team that, at least on paper, you would think that it would be a potential explosion game for both of those options. I don't think that happens, but I still think Ball State finds the way to win on the perimeter, wins around the three-point arc, and I think that despite Sparks and Hendricks being held to single digits, I think Ball State wins by double digits.
Let me follow this up then, Griffin. We saw 4 points from Sparks and 2 points from Hendricks against Dayton. Do you think they have more than that against Indiana State at least?
Well, neither one of them hit a field goal. Right. They hit a basket. Both of them were perfect from the free throw line, but neither one of them successfully made a basket from the floor. I would expect that to change on Saturday against Indiana State, but at the same time, I think it's going to be really telling within the first 5 minutes or so of that matchup to see how well Indiana State's growing and maturing front court matches up against Ball State, who has some veteran options in Sparks and Hendricks.
Yeah, agreed.
So we look at these matchups coming up, excited for them. You've heard our predictions. I'm sure you have your own, and we hope we see you either at Worthen Arena on Saturday or alongside us for the broadcast on Saturday, either out on Learfield in Northern Iowa or at Worthen Arena for the Cardinals against the Sycamores. But that'll do it for this week's edition of the Cards Court. Sam Niger, we had Ethan Britton Watts earlier. Thanks again to him and everybody at Ball State Athletics for making that happen. I'm Griffin Leonard saying so long. We'll see you next week as we prepare to break down our final week of Ball State basketball before the Thanksgiving break. We'll see you soon, Cardinal fans.